feed him so he doesn't, you know, overdo it. But he always comes to me. Do you hear that, Ron? That little boy always comes to me. Hard for you to believe, isn't it? Yeah. Good to have you back tonight. And those who are online, thank you for being with us tonight. Please take your Bibles and go again to the book of Exodus. We're in chapter 2, and we'll be partly in chapter 3 as well. Moses meeting God on holy ground. As we look at this chapter here, we find Moses fled Egypt. We find him in Midian, and where he will spend the next 40 years. Keep in mind that Moses' life is divided into three 40-year periods. His first 40 years, he was trained as a scholar in Egypt. You believe, see Acts 7, particularly verse 22, where it says he learned in all the wisdom of Egypt. His second 40 years is on the backside of the desert, where he will be a shepherd in Midian. He will do there what he was taught to hate, being a shepherd. Isn't that interesting how God works in our lives? The third 40 years, he'll be a savior to lead Israel out of Egypt. So the first one, a scholar in Egypt, a shepherd in Midian, and a savior leading Israel out of Egypt. Father, I pray tonight as we spend a few moments on this text that you'll speak to our hearts as only you can. In Jesus, our Savior's name, amen. I want to deal with three thoughts this evening. The place where we need to be. The one we need to hear. And the plan we need to obey. That's what I get from this story. As he leaves Egypt, fleeing from Egypt. And where do we find him? You find him in the desert, in Midian. If you study that area, you'll find the only thing you can see is sand everywhere. Keep in mind that this Moses, when he killed that Egyptian there and hid him in what? The sand. God says, you like sand? I'll just give you 40 years of sand experience as he was in the desert. I want you to notice the desert place where God speaks and the drinking place from his well. Two interesting statements there as I think the place we need to be. When you have failed, and I have failed, and we fail, I've failed more times than I can mention here in this pulpit this evening, but I thank God that many times God will lead me to the desert place. Now, what does the word desert mean? Have you thought of that? The word desert means that which speaks. I've been through California deserts many a time. Matter of fact, we drove into the desert to get into the heart of California, and when you get into that desert, you begin to hear sounds that are rather strange there. But I'm thinking about the word itself. It means to speak. And God took Moses to the desert place because he had something to say. Let me just stop and say to you tonight, but God wants to speak. Whenever you're in that place where you are on the run, or when things have happened to you, be careful that you listen to God and keep in mind, be certain it is God's voice that you hear. I have found so many times people that have gone through some pretty tragic experiences, and often they will hear, but it's not God's voice. Matter of fact, if you go to chapter 2, if you remember in verse 11 down to verse 14, you realize in those verses that it's obvious Moses did not hear God's voice. It was the voice of the flesh. It was a voice of self-ambition. It was a voice of pride. Whatever voice you want to hear, and there are many voices that will speak, but I beg you today, be certain it is God's voice that you hear. As I have pastored some 52 years now, and I've counseled with people, it's amazing. As I sit in a counseling chair talking to some couple or someone, and the things they tell me, I'm sure that they didn't get that from God. It wasn't God's voice. And I began to ask them questions. Well, where did you come up with this idea? Why do you want to do this? And after a while, it comes down to the fact they, on many occasions, admit, well, that's why I'm here today with you. I guess I'm just not certain what God wants. Let me say to you today, when you're in doubt, don't make any move without hearing the first voice of God. Be certain it is God that you hear. Second, when you hear that voice, be confident in His power. Not only do you need to be certain that it is His voice, but when God tells you something, God will never tell you to do something without giving you the power to do it. How important that is. You see, we know God did not tell him to do what he did there in chapter 2, verse 11, when he killed and hid the Egyptian. We know God didn't do that. Why? Because there was no power there. There was no he couldn't bury one person properly. But later on, when he's in the will of God, God just covered a whole Egyptian army in water as he drowned them in the Red Sea. You see, there's a difference between God's power and your power. Keep that in mind. And not only be certain it is God's voice that you hear and be confident in His power, but be committed to His plan. I have to tell you, we have too many dropouts. I don't mean just in the pastorate or just as missionaries. We have too many dropouts. I'll get a little personal here. We have too many dropouts in the choir. Hello? We have too many dropouts in serving the Lord in different areas. This is why we're going to get our choir back together. And when you get in, don't you dare drop out. Don't you dare. If you drop out, I'll sing in the choir. And that would ruin it. In all reality, we have too many dropouts. We had too many dropouts who used people who used to go to Wednesday night and don't go any longer. Dropouts. We have too many people who used to go to Sunday school and don't do it anymore. Too many dropouts. Let's start dropping in and not dropping out. Let's do the will of God. So the desert place means it's a place where God speaks. But notice not only that. Pick up with me in verse 15 and look with me now. When Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh, and he dwelt in the land of Midian. Would you get these words? And he sat down by a well. Would you get those words? I think everything in the Bible is inspired of God. Every word. And you know something? The well is the place where you get two things you need. You get restoration and you get refreshment. Think with me. He sat down by a well. When you have failed in the will of God, be sure to go to the well of God. You hear what I just said? When you have failed in the will of God, be sure you go to the well of God. Now, what do I mean by that? Write, if you will, please, John chapter 7 by your notes, if you're by that little passage there, or turn there if you care, because when I think of the well of God, I'm thinking of the Holy Spirit. Look here in chapter 7 of John's Gospel, in verse 38 and 39. In verse 38, he said, "He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow what? Rivers of what? Living water." Waters of refreshment. Waters of restoration is what he's experienced here. But this spoke he, verse 39, of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet come, because Jesus was not yet glorified. But he's been glorified now, so we have the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Oh, I thank God for those waters of the Holy Spirit. And by the way, the Word of God is another one of those waters that the Holy Spirit wrote and is indwelling person. He said down. What is that well? It is the, first of all, the well of restoration. You have something I never saw before until I began to really study this passage as I prepared for tonight. Look over there in verse 16. And look there. And now the priests of Midian had seven daughters. And they came and drew water and filled troughs with water that their fathers, to water their father's flock. Not their fathers, their fathers. You can call them fathers if you want, but I read it wrong. Fathers. And the shepherds came and drove them away, these seven daughters. But you notice something? But Moses what? Stood up and helped them and watered their flock. Now that is a miniature picture, a little miniature picture of what God would do with Moses as he is going to protect the children of Israel and get them out of Egypt. No, what's he, you know what he was saying in this? God's not true with me yet. He may not have realized that totally what God was doing, but God just wanted to give a little miniature picture of what he wanted to do. Moses, you will deliver people. You're delivering these ladies from these shepherds who think they're the John Wayne of that day, or whatever. And when they came, verse 18, verse 17 again, then the shepherds came and drove them away, but Moses stood up and helped them. I mean, he has that concern for them, just as he did for the children of Israel over there in chapter 2 when he killed the Egyptian. He just did it the wrong way. But he had a compassion for them. In verse 18, and when they came to Reuel, their father, he said, how is it that you are come so soon today? And they said, an Egyptian, get this, an Egyptian delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds. Moses will be that deliverer who will deliver the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. And this is simply a minor middle picture of it. Think with me, is also the well, not only the well of restoration. Moses, you may not get the whole picture here, but God is not through with you. I want you to know, no matter where you are in your life, God's not through with you. Don't quit. I think we ought to take a dictionary and remove the word quit out of our dictionaries. We got too many people practicing that word today. And we don't need to do it. It's also the well of refreshment. Would you think with me, Psalm 23? He leadeth me beside what? Still waters. Oh, the refreshments of God's waters. You know what a shepherd would do? And Moses is now a shepherd. He learned. He's doing something he never thought he'd ever do. Be that which one time he was taught to hate. The shepherd would never, ever take his sheep and take him across a river until that river was absolutely still, because it would scare the sheep. And I'm thankful that God gives us still waters of refreshment. He protects us. And the sheep knew with its wool that it could easily drown in that water, and so they made sure that it was, and carry them off to destruction. But notice, not only, if you will, please, not only do we need to take the place where we need it, we need to go to the desert where God speaks. We need to go to the well of water where, when we've failed in the will of God, we can go to the water, the well of God. And we can drink of that well, and we can hear the voice of God. One of the reasons I'm convinced why the churches across America is down, it is not COVID as much as it is people are not spending time to hear the voice of God or to drink of the well. of water. And I'm hearing people have some of the strangest reasons why they don't go to church now. Those who are listening in tonight, those sick, the Arlen Mills and those people, we know why they're not here. Amen? Arlen, we're not talking about you. We are talking about those who just decided not to be there. We have a cancer. We have a plague today, and it is not COVID. It's apathy today. Notice, secondly, we not only need to note the places where we need to be as you go to that desert place, as you go drink of that water. I want you to notice the one we need to hear in that desert place. I've already made this comment. You be certain that it's God's voice, but I draw your attention here. Look here as you go down here to verse 23 down to verse 25. Now, God put that there for a reason, folks. There are two things God wants you to be aware of before you can hear His voice. I'm convinced of that. One of them is the vision of God's, get a vision of God's compassion. God is a compassionate God. Look there in verse 23. It just sort of just comes up here, pops on the pages of Scripture. After verse 21 and 22, he talks about him having children. And then he comes to verse 23. And it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of their bondage. Now, by the way, I think there are two reasons why God is going to let Moses know this. Number one, Moses feared that Pharaoh. If you go back there, you know there, and you know that Pharaoh, in verse 15, wanted to kill him. He's dead. He's dead. But I believe there's another reason here. God, compassion. And God heard their groanings. And God remembered His covenant with Abraham and with Isaac and with Jacob. And by the way, look there. I'll something else I've never seen before, never thought of before. I'm sure maybe you have, but I haven't. He's the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and God of Jacob. But then let me say, Moses, you ready for this, Moses? All three of those men failed also. You're not alone in failure. You're here tonight, and if you failed in what God wants you to do, it's okay, because some great people have failed too. Just don't remain a failure. Abraham, you know, went out of the will of God and had a son that was really not in God's will. Isaac, boy, he was a mess. Then there's Jacob. Jacob was so crooked, he could go through a pack of pretzels and knock a grain of salt off of a pretzel. These three fellows all failed. I think God put that there to remind Moses and to remind you and me, God loves failures. But He never wants them to remain failures. Just as He picked Abraham up and Isaac up and Jacob up and used them, Moses, He's going to use you. I just want you to get a vision of that. God heard their groanings. Verse 25, God looked upon the children of Israel, and He had respect to them. Meaning, why did He have respect? Because those were His children. Listen to me. You know somebody tonight's living in failure. Understand, he's a child of God, and he's your brother or sister in the Lord. Don't you dare forget it. Don't you dare write him off. I am so tired of people writing other people off. Let's not write them off. I made a practice in my ministry that when people got into trouble, I did everything I could to restore them, because I could be where they are. Keep that in mind. Not only do we have a vision of God's compassion, Moses, you're going to get a new vision of how much God loves people. But notice, secondly, the value in testing. Moses, you've been through some rough testing. Are you ready for this, Moses? You've got some more to go through. John Stevens, you've been through some rough ones. You got more to go through. Put your name there if you might. Notice here, look at verse 1 of chapter 3. Now, would you look at that word now, N-O-W? I want you to note God's timing. Now, Moses, now's the time for you to be used. And what you want to do, and what I want to do to deliver the children of Israel. You got it all wrong, Moses, when you killed that Egyptian, when you tried on your own to do it. Now's the time. I want to tell you something, folks. Many of us fail because we're not willing to wait on God's timing. God's timing is so vital. So vital. As I look back at my life, and particularly when I study, when I was called into ministry, I had no idea it was going to take me 6.5 years to get what I needed to be trained. And if I said a thought of that, I would never have done it. But God knew the timing. The timing. I want to put you in a pastorate in the right timing, in the right place. Moses, you're where I want you to be. But now's the time me to use you like you've never been used before. But notice not only the timing, but notice the testing here. The testing. Moses, you are going to be... Well, let's read it. I think it's better if I read it. Look at verse 1 and 2. Verse 1, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. He led the flock to the backside of the desert. I haven't figured out yet what the backside of the desert is. Reminded of the fellow who lived way, 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 way out in the country. And a friend of him was visiting him. And when he visited him, he had to park his car. He had to cross over a river, go up hills and valleys. And he finally got to the place that he was going to visit. And there was a note on the door that said, gone to the country. Gone to the country for the day. That's the backside of the desert. He's already been there, but now the backside, you can't go much further back. There. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert, came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. Now, the word Horeb is a word which means wasted. That's how desolate it was. And I want to tell you something, folks. When you're out of the will of God, it's pretty desolate. It's pretty dry. It's pretty miserable. And Moses, you're going to get back into the will of God here. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire. And the bush was not consumed. I've studied a little on that bush. It was just a thorny shrub that you had no value to it whatsoever. Can I say this nicely? Paul, you're nothing but a thorn, a bush. So is John Stevens. So is Jesse. So is Ron on down the line. We're just thorny bushes. No value. You can't do anything with it. But there's a fire. The bush is not consumed. Because when God gets a hold of a bush and sets it on fire for His glory, it's an amazing sight to see. It's an amazing thing that God does. Wouldn't it be great if God would set us all as burning bushes on fire for His glory and use it for His glory? Oh. I was thinking of testings. Turn with me, leave that for just a moment, and Turn with me to the Psalms, and turn with me to Psalm 119, the longest chapter in the Bible. Psalm 119. And look with me at three significant verses. One verse and then the two to go together. In verse 67, you have the reason for testings and trials. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I've kept thy word. Wow, what a statement. Moses, you just didn't keep his word. He didn't do it. John Stevens, when you went through those times, God, he just didn't listen to me. So God put a test in my life. And that is the reason. But I want you to get the riches. For there are two verses, verse 71 and 72. And folks, you will never, ever be used of God the way God would like to use you until you come to the place and you say, it is good for me that I've been afflicted. I want you to get those verses. Good for the Lord is good. I have to tell you, I've referred to it more than once, but I just want you to know that I was good. We went through the lawsuit. God did something to the Northside Baptist Church. It wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for that lawsuit. God did some great things, and I was afflicted. I was pretty sick through that experience. Notice what he says here. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn thy statute. Look, verse 72, the law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. That's the riches. The riches are just as important as the reason. The riches is God is going to do something. Let me say to you, value your testings. Value them. They're valuable. You will not understand or hear the voice of God clearly until you first get a vision of what God wants to do and then see the value. You're just a thorny bush. But when God does an unusual thing, he takes care of it and does something so miraculous. That's what God wants to do. I had more people who could not believe that I'd ever be a preacher. And I'm not much of one. God has called me, and thank God. There were times I quit. Right, honey? School. Times I quit school. Not in the pastorate. More preachers quit on Monday. I never took Monday off. Just filled it with good things to do and keep busy for the Lord. Notice the voice. Then he hears the voice of God. Verse 3. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see the great sight, why they brush is not burnt. And I want you to underline the word when. When the Lord saw that he turned aside. If Moses had not turned aside, God could not have used him when he turned aside. He stopped doing what he was doing, and he spent time with God, and God heard God's voice. Now, let me say, God is going to call him, as we're going to see in the weeks to come, to do some things that he never dreamed possible and didn't want to do. Now, get this. I want you to understand this. The callings of God are forced on you. Hear what I just said? They're forced on you. Show me someone who just says, well, I want to be this, I want to be that. What? It's got to be forced on you. It's forced in three ways. First of all, there is the eternal purpose of God. When God has a purpose, Moses, I got a purpose for you. It is followed by the external circumstances. My people are in captivity. I got a purpose for you, and my people are in captivity, and you put those things together. Guess what, Moses? You're called. There's a third one. It is not only the eternal purpose of God, that you're in my purpose, you're in what I want you to do. The external circumstances, my people need to be delivered. but also there's the internal pressure of the Holy Spirit for us today. Moses had the Spirit of God on him, I believe, and he just, the Spirit of God. Listen, you ever been pressured to do something by the Spirit of God? You better listen. You better listen. You better listen. That's God speaking. You put the purpose, you put the circumstances, and you put the pressure of the Holy Spirit together, you're forced into it. I was forced to be a pastor. That's the one thing I didn't want to do. You know my first message? You ready for this? It lasted 10 minutes. Hard for you to believe. I'm long-winded. You mean 10 minutes? Yeah. 10 minutes. I didn't have any more to say. I'm here to tell you today that God still called me, and God calls you to where He puts the pressure on you. Paul, you've been pressured into doing what you're doing, right? Pressured by God. Nothing like it. Ron, pressured. Ain't that good? Pressured by God. Now, he hadn't pressured me to drive truck. I'd wreck the truck. God knows that. I'd at least go 80 miles an hour. If you don't believe me, ask Marilyn. But I'm here to tell you those three things that go together. And he heard the voice of God. We're going to see next week. He's going to tell him, Moses, get your sandals off. Those sandals are dirty. And I want nothing dirty between you and me. Take care of it. The one reason why God cannot use a lot of people is because they have dirty lives, dirty feet. Their walk with God is dirty. As I close, I bring you to one final passage. I want you to go to Deuteronomy chapter 32, because in this chapter, God kind of deals with the calling of why God called Moses to deliver this group of people. You can tell they were Baptists. Some of them were so hard to get along with. So hard. But as I go to second chapter 32 of Deuteronomy, in one verse only, I see not only as we've dealt here with the place we need to be, those two places, the desert, the well of water, the one that we need to hear, but you better get a vision of what God is doing before you listen to the voice, or you'll get the wrong voice. You realize the value God has placed on you. You're just a shrub without me, but on fire for the glory of God, and will can burn eternally. But I see the plan we need to obey. Look there in verse 10. He's talking about Israel, which he found through Moses. Verse 10, he found him in a what? Desert land. And in the waste, howling wilderness. The word howling means to speak. God spoke in that desert. And he did three things there in that verse. He led him, he instructed him, and he kept him as the apple of his eye. He led him about. He graced him, Israel, with his presence. God wants to grace you with his presence. He wants to lead you. You know, a lot of people are afraid to say, Lord, take my life and do what you want. You know why? They're afraid that God will have them do something that they really don't want to do. I remember, forget, when God called me, I would go to the chapel. And I was afraid God was going to call me to be a missionary, something I am not qualified to be. The reason is that missionaries got to know how to build things and how to keep things together. That ain't me, pardon me. How many know Bill Rice of Bill Rice Ranch? Know Bill Rice? I met Bill not too long ago, and he said, you know, John, he says, Mary and I are getting old. And I said, yeah, well, you're not as old as me. And he in his mid-70s. And he said, and Mary's standing next to him, he said, I'm hoping I die first. But if Mary dies first, we're in trouble. I can't do anything. I don't know how to cook. I don't know how to keep house. Only thing I can do is preach. He said, so we decided if she goes first, we have her funeral in the morning and my marriage in the afternoon. I think he was kidding, of course. He just didn't know what to do. But I want to tell you today, when he graces you with his presence, how wonderful it is. You can't accomplish anything without his presence. Secondly, he instructed him. That means he grounded him in his word. Moses, have you thought about all the things in the book of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy that Moses wrote down? There's a lot of instructions there, folks. He instructed him. He graced him. He grounded him in his word. And then notice this as we close tonight in verse 10. And kept him as the apple of his eye. You know what that refers to? The pupil in your eye. Your eye is the most sensitive part of your being. If you don't believe it, I want to punch you, you'll blink right away. You're scared of that fist because your eye. And so God not only graces us, grounds us, but he guards us in an unusual way. Your eye is so valuable. Isn't it, Steve, my brother who cannot see tonight? Wish he could see as we see. But I also wish we could see what he sees. Hello. What a smile he has on his face. Because I'm convinced he sees God. And I'm very concerned that I see God in my spirit than I am in my eyes. Other things. I am thankful tonight that God thinks of us that way. Moses, he's going to grace your life with his presence. For the first 40 years, you've been doing the wrong thing. And in the last second 40 years, you've just been taking care of sheep. But now you're really going to take four-legged sheep. Now you're going to take care of two-legged sheep. And he's going to ground him in his word. If you read Genesis, or Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, I'll tell you something, a lot of stuff there that Moses wrote. And he'll guard you as you walk with him. Father, tonight, thank you for this story. As we thank you, Lord, for what you've done. Thank you, Lord. Moses said, and we'll deal with it more next week, here am I. That's all God wants to hear, is just for us to say, here am I, I'll do what you want me to do. God is speaking to you in any way tonight that you need to make a decision that's open for you to do it. Let's all stand together as our song leader comes and closes in our hymn tonight.